because it's always a challenge to dig into something new. I love to study. I love to study God's Word. But she always brings a message and a topic to you that you're supposed to unfold, and she gives you kind of a pathway you're to go on. And it seems like it would be easy, but it's a challenge every time. Uniquely invaluable. What in the world could you say about that? But I want to tell you that you are each very uniquely invaluable. And your life matters. With all the news and everything that's going on about Black Lives Matter, but I have to tell you that every life matters. You are unique. You are divinely made. And you are in the image of Him. I have my first picture. Lisa, would you mind putting my first picture up? I have grandchildren. Have you ever met a grandma that doesn't want to talk about her grandkids? Well, this is me, and this is my little granddaughter. I adore her. Right now, she's 6 years old, and she wants to be just like me. She wants to copy everything I do. And even Nancy Haney has said, Debbie, you know your little granddaughter? She's a Point to Hope or wannabe. How does she know that? Nancy hasn't met her personally, but you know what that tells me? Everything I'm doing, she's watching. She adores me. I adore her. But my life matters so much. It's invaluable what I do and the actions that I show her. Whatever I do, she calls me Gaga, and I love that. I've adopted that phrase. I'm her Gaga, and she wants to be just like me. Life is fragile. Every day counts. Time counts. You know, when you get your heart in living right, it comes out beautiful. Let me get my glasses on. What I want you to see here in this picture, I have a lot to offer this little girl. All my life, I know I'm going to put into her as long as God lets me live. I could give her right now my finances. I could give her my wisdom that's taken me a lifetime to learn this far. I could give her a lot of advice. But do you think that would be very smart? It really wouldn't. She wouldn't be able to handle my finances or my experience or my wisdom right now. So just like the theme of the conference, set your heart on the kingdom of heaven, maturing in His love. There's a part of her that needs to mature before I can give her a whole lot. She's 6 years old now. So we're going to go through the process of life. And I pray I hear the Lord of how much to give her and how much to show her. And I'm going to pay attention to my actions. Let me pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to just stand right here and just be able to share Your heart. Father, You are the invaluable one. I love Your word. I love who You are. Holy Spirit, have Your way. I bless You today. I honor You. Lord, we celebrate the life and the time we have here today. Open up our hearts and even speak to me, Lord. Minister to me as we minister to You in return. We give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everybody has a story, and I have a story, but this is my story. Might not be like yours. You might be able to relate to some of it. But you want to know a secret? I didn't understand I was valuable at all, let alone invaluable. And I could be replaced. You know, the world would tell you that you could be replaced. In fact, anyone can do what you can do. I heard that all my life. You know you can be replaced. You know you can do things. They could do things better than you can. And I always knew that. I measured my life to that world standard. You can be replaced. I had a career for a very long time at the airlines. And I loved my job. I got good at it. I was excellent at it. I won awards for it because I wanted to be the best. But you know, I knew I could be replaced. And because I could be replaced, I worked very hard to be good, really good, to be excellent, to be the best. But you know, as soon as I left and as soon as I was retired, I was replaced as fast as could be. I'd go to the airport and I'd think, well, who are all those people? And they didn't even remember I worked there. I was replaceable. God tells me I'm irreplaceable. Something is wrong. So I worked all my life to be valuable. Performance, if I could do it and I could do it better, I would. I love to please people. I love to serve people, and I still do today. But you know, when you do it that way from the world system, you know what happens? You get really tired. You really get beaten down. Yeah, and the hardest thing, I think, in all of that is you really don't hold a lot of self-respect. Anybody could do what I could do, and if they can't do it, just take a class. You can get good at it. If I could do it, you could do it, surely. This is my story. Out of frustration, coming to the end of myself, saying, God, there's got to be more. I'm just tired and worn out, and I can't ever please everyone. I can't. I just cannot. I wanted to fit in rather than follow the convictions that you know that are right and true and righteous. I wanted to, but the pressure is on when you ever try and please people. John 6, verse 28 and 29. I love how Jesus walks with his disciples. He was walking along with the disciples, trying to convince them that he came from a different kingdom. His kingdom was with a father that loved him, and he loved people unconditionally. And I could just see the disciples going, what is he talking about? Can we go there? How can we get there? Where do you come from? And Jesus kept drawing pictures, trying to find out where they could finally see how to get to this kingdom. So, John 6, 28, 29 says, Jesus, what can we do? What can we do? Emphasis on the what can we do. If we want to do God's work, this Father that you talk about. I could just see gentle Jesus gently chuckling and saying, the work you can do for me, and the work you can do for God is to begin by believing in the one he has sent. Well, that confused them big time because they only knew the way that I did it, by good works. What can we do? Tell us what to do. We'll do everything we can to fit into this kingdom because it sounds like there's a pretty good dad there and he could love and accept me the way I am. I don't have to do anything. No, this kingdom, you don't have to do anything. You just believe. That's the beginning. Well, as you know, as I know, the disciples had a really hard time with that. I had a really hard time with that. Just believe that I'm invaluable? How do you do that? How do you get from here to there? I was raised in church all my life. I loved church, loved church. I had a wonderful family. And I thought, even there, value came from what I did. I loved the nursery. I loved the helping. I loved the little ladies, the older ladies that were younger than me now at the time, the little old ladies that worked in the kitchen. If I could help, I wanted to. I loved playing the piano for the choir and doing anything I could. I loved doing because that's who I was. I wanted to do and be the best. But I had it backwards. This kingdom, I couldn't fit into God's kingdom this way till I was done with my good works. I set my mind on the kingdom of the world. It was an upside-down kingdom for me to learn about God's kingdom. I had it all backwards. I didn't have to do anything. You know, when you come to the end of yourself and you've tried everything and you still can't get that approval, that acceptance, to think you're okay, to think you fit in. Well, then life began for me. something very powerful happened in my life. I had a divine encounter. Now, I'm a little girl with a very big child heart. I have a very good imagination. And I love to be silly, and I love to play, and I never want to grow up. And that still remains the same today. And you know, God made me that way. But I thought, you know, that was probably misbehaving. But I love misbehaving. I'm kind of a stinker, too. I had a divine appointment by God. I attended a meeting many years ago, a lot like this one. They were a little bit off center for me, very uncomfortable. But when I walked in, it was everything I wanted. I wanted to run, but I didn't want to leave. What in the world were these people like? What are they all about? I knew from the minute I walked into that room, that meeting, whatever it was, there was something different about the people. And what was different is they accepted me. They didn't know who I was. And it didn't matter. They took me in, and there was a presence, a sense, an atmosphere that said, oh, we've been waiting for you to come. You add to us. Just come sit here, will you? Now, listen, I wasn't ready for what happened next. I wasn't prepared at all in the least. I didn't even want to be at that meeting. My mother convinced me and Candy Austin to go many years ago together. We decided, yeah, we'll go all right. We'll go late. We'll sit in the back and we'll leave early. And we really had a good plan because church was just uncomfortable with those kinds of people. You know how Jesus paints pictures? Lisa, could you show my next picture? Now, Jesus loves painting pictures and parables. My God encounter looks something like this. This is an old postcard that I found many years ago, and it's downtown Ketchikan. As you know, Ketchikan does rain about at least 6 feet of rain a year. And we walk around with raincoats, boots, hats, hoods up, and it's always gloomy, it's always dark here. We know that. We live here. We choose to live here. I was born here. I'm still here. And I don't know why I'm still here, but I choose to live here. And it is just kind of gloomy most days. But when I walked into that meeting, it was a lot like this picture. Oh, my God, what is this? It is so bright, and it's a picture of a postcard with people in rain gear falling down because the light came out, the sun came out, and they don't know what to do with the sun. Underneath it has a caption that says, "Sunshine terrorizes Southeast Alaska residents." I know. And that's really how I felt. Oh, my God, what am I doing in this meeting? I'm in the back, and all of a sudden I'm crying because it feels so peaceful. I don't think I ever caught up to myself and knew what peace was. I was so much performance. I wanted to be a good girl, and I was such a stinker. I was never a good girl. So this place, I was a good girl. I had acceptance in that place. Now I can imagine Jesus looking at the Father, because I have a good imagination, and he says, "Father, look. Here comes Candy and Debbie. They're driving in the driveway. They're parking their car. This is the day, Father. Do you know how long we've waited for them to come to this place? Look at angels. Look at Debbie. Here she comes. She has no idea what's in for her. Tonight's the night. We have waited so long. I'm going to teach her to fly with me. I see who she is, and she has so much. Father, are you excited? I'm excited. I'm excited, Father. This is a great moment." And it was as if the light came out so bright, it blinded me. I didn't know what end was up. I was so confused. I hurt, and I was peaceful at the same time. One knows when you find love. You just know it. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't touch it. It was invisible. It was powerful. It was electric. I got in my car, Candy must have had her own car. I don't remember. But I drove home by myself because I think you had to go, and I didn't want to go. I wasn't going to leave. I wanted every drop that I heard. But when I got in my car to go home, I cried all the way home. Jesus, you can forgive that and that. I was such a stinker. I felt like such a bad girl. But you can. I can start over. That is just such good news. That's why they call it good news. Got it. Oh, and I cried all night long. And as that light came into my heart, I realized, man, I have a lot of forgiving to do. God, I think it took me at least, I can't measure the time it took to forgive all the things that I thought I needed to forgive. All of a sudden, I realized how much I needed to forgive. And you know what I come to at the end? I mostly needed to forgive myself. Holy smokes, that was the toughest of all. I'm okay. I'm really okay. And God began doing a great healing in my heart, in my mind. I had a very sick mind because it was all about performance and doing. Do you love me now? Do you love me now? Am I okay? The greatest healing and the greatest miracle of all that night in me was salvation. I was raised in church all my life. Good grief, how was I not saved? Who did I pray to? But I didn't know about salvation. I'd never heard one person had to give their life to the Lord. My mom and dad couldn't do it for me. My mom led me there, but I had to do it for myself. And I took it. I got it. I finally got it. That's the greatest of all miracles that God ever did, is salvation. Giving your life, giving your heart to Jesus, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's where the healing began. But let me emphasize, it's an individual decision. Nobody can do it for you. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, Jesus, we've got a lot of work to do on me because I really had my thinking backwards. No wonder I was so out of balance. And it was very hard for me to not jump in and do good works. I naturally want to please you, and I still do today. Many times I get a spanking from the Lord, and he'll say, did I say to do that? Are you wondering why you're exhausted and tired? Running short on energy? Did I tell you to do all that? Let's look at what I put in your hand. You're trying to perform, Debbie. You don't have to prove yourself. Be who I want you to be. 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He called me. I wasn't even looking for him, or was I? Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, I'd just like to make a note. He's invisible. He's divine. And when you walk in, if you looked at something so beautiful and you go, this is just simply divine. Oh, it's divine. You just think there's no explanation. It's so wonderful. It's so good. It's just divine, darling. It's just divine. Well, that's what God is. He's so unexplainable. He's so invaluable. He's so irreplaceable. And that's what's living in you, and that's what's living in me. And if you are doing your own thing, you're tired, beat up, you're used up. But if you are with him, the evil desires don't pull at you the same. If you're having a battle, sometimes we cause our own battles because we're so busy trying to do our own thing still. Where is the battle? Where's the real battle? Colossians 1:15-23 says, the supremacy of Christ. He's all, everything. And he, all, everything, lives inside of you. all of a sudden, the focus is now on, did you tell me to do that? I can't remember. Tell me again. Or am I just making this up? It feels kind of fun. I want to be a part of that group because they have so much fun. And I can feel the smirk of God saying, I know, Debbie, but I'm saving you for something better. You don't need to go to that. Everybody else is going, but you don't run with the crowd. Remember, you're running with me. It's about me. It's about me. And I just stay home feeling sorry for myself because I want to be like everybody else. I really think I do, but I'm not. I'm not to be. God has made me specifically unique. Whether you like me or not, it's good now that you don't or do. I don't really care. That's huge for me. Go with me, if you will. We're going to camp out in some parables. Matthew 13. I'm going to read it to you. I don't know if you like to follow your Bible or not, but we're going to start in verse 44. I love how Jesus walked the earth and he always tried to paint a picture. I'm always seeing God in everything, everywhere. And this is what I think Jesus tried to do. I can make up parables of my own. And it's very fun. I just see God everywhere. I drive in my driveway and the trees are blowing and I see this big limb and I go, hi. I just know he's waving at me. So Jesus wanted you to see him in everything. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Let's pick this apart. I love eating the word. It's so delicious. So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. So this tells me the kingdom of heaven, it's like it's hidden. Not everyone is going to see it for what it is. See, I didn't see it until it was my time. I could have gone to that meeting. I mean, there's just these crazy, freaky Christians all around me trying to tell me what for and I needed this and, you know, just get baptized in the Spirit. And I thought they were just a little bit off into left field there. I didn't need to join that kind of a group. But you know, when it was my time, when I had come to a fullness of time to where I knew, or he knew that I would recognize him, that's when God showed up. My heart was ready. I was at the end of myself. There's got to be something more, God, please. There's got to be something more. I'm really making a mess out of my life. I'm making all the wrong choices. I mean to do right and I do wrong. I just don't know how to do right. A year earlier could have gone by, could have done the same meeting, could have had the same lesson or whatever they shared, the music, the people. I wouldn't have gotten it. God waits, just like the picture with my little granddaughter. And I'm waiting for my granddaughter to reveal some things that I have that God's going to have me share with this little one that's anointed and appointed to be a little point to hope or wannabe, but it's not ready yet. God waits for maturity in each one of us. You know it's hard to grow up. I'm still trying, and I'm so immature so many times. God, I'm still needing to get that. I blew it again, but he laughs at me, and I laugh back, and I go, let's try it again. Maybe this time we'll get it, God. But he waits until you recognize him for him to give you more. You can't compare yourself with anyone. It'll frustrate you. It'll make you feel less than you are. Let's keep reading. So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Now, why would anyone hide a treasure? Could it be that that's the world standard? You give me something valuable. I have some valuable jewelry that I've gotten. It's so valuable, I put it in a deposit box, and I'm afraid to wear it. I don't want anybody to steal it, and what do I do with it? I lock my house because I don't want people to steal things. Well, it's just so valuable. That's the world thinking, right? Well, let me stretch your imagination here. Something that's so extremely valuable in the Lord, which that night, finding the light, having the light invade my heart, it was so valuable, I didn't want anyone to steal it. So you know what I did? I didn't know what to do. But when I cried all night long, and I went to bed, and I woke up, it was like, God, I am so desperate. I mean it, God. It's like I'm telling God, I am so desperate for truth, and I got a taste of the light. If this isn't real, please don't let me wake up tomorrow. Have you ever felt like that? If this isn't real, I don't want to get up. I don't want to keep doing it the same old way. I hid it in my heart. How do you do that? This is so extremely valuable, God. Above all else, I tasted that love. And I don't ever want to live without this. I don't think I could bear waking up and going back to how things were. Is this when a person hides that, that God says, test and prove of me. Test me. Is that what's really, what's going on? So I did. You know what I did? My mother brought me a Bible. My mother was always trying to have me learn the righteous right way because she's a very godly woman. There's my mom. She's a glory carrier. You think that was a little threatening to me? Well, it sure was. Who could measure to walk like that? My mother brought me a New Living Bible, and all I knew was the King James, and it opened up my world. All of a sudden, I read it and read it, and it made sense to me. What happened? I had the Spirit of the living God inside of me, and he was talking to me now. He was translating it to me in my own language. So I begin looking into the Word and looking into the Word, and I just held it on my heart, and I studied, and I read it, and I kept saying, what's this mean? And I could hear in my conscience talk back to me of what things meant. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Keep your finger in Matthew 13, though. We'll come back. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive. And that book was alive. It was hot in my hands. I would get up every day and start reading it. I devoured it. I couldn't wait to read it in the morning, noon, and night. I ate it like it was like my last meal. The Word of God is alive and active. It was active in me. He showed me things in me that were just naughties that I needed to forgive myself, forgive others, things I had to go knock on doors and ask for forgiveness, but I knew I had to. It was active. It was sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know, I took that to heart. And now if the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, Jesus is alive, and I'm trying to picture this, okay? Now picture, and I love to journal, so I wrote this in my journal, but now picture, I'm the Word of God, and I'm speaking to you because I, the Word of God, have a mouth, and this is what I'm telling you. I am the Word. I'm alive. I'm a discerner of your thoughts. Oh, but that's a good thing. I know your innermost heart. I know your thoughts. Ah, let me in your heart. Move over. Let me make you sharp. I'm going to make you piercing and alive in truth. When you speak, it will be a different way of speaking. I'll move out those unnecessary things clogging your heart that that's stopping you. I listen to hearts. Let me hear your heart. Let me hear your heart holding fast. Let your heart hold fast to my word. You will act and react from it, making right and good decisions. Guard, protect, and watch your heart, because it should be full of my word. This is what you guard. All your answers are here. Plug up your heart with me. Fill that heart full of me. Don't allow anything to steal my word from your heart. Don't do it. With all you've got, guard the word in your heart. All those words that are mine, that you and I have discussed and talked about. It will bubble and grow out of this place. My words will give life and health to you. Yes, it will bring you health. The tool? Debbie, listen to this. The secret? Time. T-I-M-E. Spend time with me. The more time, the greater your strength. You want to have great strength? That's what protects and begins holding you fast to me. I can only feed you little by little by little, just like eating. You need to chew and chew. Some things are harder to chew. Swallow, digest, then give it out. That's why. That's why the constant use of me and the time spent with me. You're as big in me as you want to be. It's up to you. And there is no limit with me. Can you picture the Word of God saying that? He's alive. He's real. That's what lives in you. He's my rudder. He's my anchor. He's my guide. So the theme, now set your heart on the kingdom of heaven, maturing in his love. That was my way of maturing in God. Huh, like I've arrived. I have not arrived at all. Every day I feel like a brand new baby. And the more I learn, I feel like the younger I am in the Lord. God is so big. Always be teachable. There's so much to learn. So going back to Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. Oh, let me tell you now, I'm full of the word. I've got so much in me, I'm dangerous. I'm going and I'm preaching to my mom. I'm preaching to my dad. I'm telling them things I learned in the Bible. And did you know this story? And my mom must have been so patient, because she's going, yes, honey, I've tried to teach you that all your life. You know, but yet all of a sudden the light was on. And I wanted to tell everybody about my Jesus. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know? How about this? Gloria knows. We ran together pretty hard and fast at the logging camps many years ago. Did you know? I'm going to bring my piano out here. I want everybody in this logging camp saved. I don't care. I don't care if you're, are you born again? And, you know, I look back and I was pretty obnoxious at that point, because I was young in the Lord. And I was just bound and determined we were going to get everybody saved in the logging camp. Right, Gloria? We worked at it. There's many secrets. He's the fire of love inside of me. All of a sudden, I was accepted. All of a sudden, I was forgiven. I had peace and joy. Even when I fell on my face, I went, oops, fell down. Let's do it again, attitude. It was joy that now gave me strength. And I apologize if I was so obnoxious, but I probably was. I probably really was. But I'm learning, I'm maturing, I'm growing up. The secret that I discovered, you are his treasure. Oh, God, I see now. I'm not the treasure, they are. Well, maybe I am, but I see you now. I see you. I see your face. I see you. There you are. And all those people. I'm going to find you in everybody. Let's go do that. Let's go. And he says, slow up, Debbie. I lead, you follow. You are irresistible to him. Absolutely irresistible to him. You are so invaluable. There is no price on you. He paid the price. And it cost him everything. You know, he never sleeps. He's always waiting for you to text him, call him, write him a letter. He's always stalking you, going, how about me? How about me? How about me? I'm here. I'm here. You want to talk? You want to talk? You are uniquely invaluable and irresistible to him. He gloats. He gloats with pride when he watches you share his name. The story continues in Matthew 13:45. So now I'm bounding out, making myself obnoxious to the world, and as I'm maturing in the Lord. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought that field. One believer, you and me, committing to one Savior. Now we look at Nancy Haney, and I know just a little bit of the cost that she's paid, and the tears, and the testimony, and the pains of what she, just being one that has been able to walk closely with her. But look at what a bright light she is. She's dynamic, isn't she? That's the same firelight that's inside of you. You're as big in God as you want to be. She didn't choose to be that way. She just said, yes, God. And you know, in the sky, when there's one star, the sky is nice. Well, I know we don't know about stars here, do we? But once in a while, we see a night sky with stars. But one star is nice. But isn't it beautiful when there's a whole bunch of stars that lights up the sky? That's how God wants his kingdom. Each one of you, if you were a star, the more the better. One believer, it's all about multiplication. It's all about Jesus did it for you. Now you go do it one person at a time. One person at a time. But he does it. He will find your divine appointments for you. Ask him for it. It's all about you looking for his treasure. He's the treasure. Now let's go find his other treasure. I want to tell you, each one of you are so, so irreplaceable to me. Every one of you, I need you. You make me, I'm better with you than without you. We need each other. Yet we're all so unique. I don't want you to be like me. The world would be a horrible place. It really would be. Be who you are. Be you, Tifa, is being who you are. Nobody can do it like you can, and if you don't do what you can, that God made what you can do and be, you're the all-important one to him, to me. You've got to do your part. And mainly that's just loving him and doing what he says. The great I am lives inside of you, and you're the only one that can do what he's called you to do. I can't do your job, and you can't do mine. You are absolutely irreplaceable. The biggest thing for me was I couldn't compare myself to anyone. I always knew anyone could do what I could do, and now I know different. Nobody can do what I can do. And that's a fact, Jack. It really is. And that's kind of cool. I'm unique. I'm a little strange, but now it's kind of okay strange. I don't really care. Okay, this is my story. And I'll continue on. I have value now. That's my story now. I'm not replaceable. I'm irreplaceable, just like you. I'm unique, very strange. I'm very peculiar. I don't do things like anyone else. And that's how I was designed to be. I cannot be replaced. He broke the mold when he made me, and he broke the mold when he made you. Thank God. One way God works is in the natural. Let me tell you a story and a little secret about me. You know, fear is a big deal. One way God works to work fear out is to just throw a few circumstances your way to just work on that. Helen Keller says, and I quote, adventure. I love that word, by the way. I like on the edge of life, doing things nobody's done. Adventure. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Helen Keller. And you know, that's kind of my motto too. Hey, if this is the last day, if this is the day we're to die, let's go down good, God. Let's do it with all we got. Okay, but I had a fear. And my fear, I had a fear of flying. I just didn't like to fly. My mom's laughing because when I was young, we went as a family with the Pickerel family out to camp into a lake, but we had to go on one of these little silly float planes. I was on my dad's lap the whole time. I don't know how he was even breathing. I was so terrified, and I thought, yeah, I got to really work on that, but I didn't want to get in that airplane again. So fast forward, my husband, he wants to learn to fly. Wouldn't you know it? I'm not going with him. You go for it. You just knock yourself out. I don't have to go. You just go ahead and learn to fly. Have fun. Well, we had Andrew's Oil, and one of the things we did was we had to go to these, we got to go to these conferences that were mobile oil distributor things, and so they always offer after the meetings little side things you can do, and you know, you could golf, or you could go shopping, or you could go on a tour, you could go to museums. Well, wouldn't you know, they offered this particular time gliding. Well, I passed right over that one, and my husband came back to me, and he goes, Debbie, what do you think? Can we sign up for that one? And I said, sure. You see, what happened is God was working in me. He had filled my heart with the Word of God, and inside I'm saying, there's no fear in love. 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 So I kept trying to get that, but either I needed more love to push that fear out. I was really trying to work on that. And so when my husband said, what do you think, Debbie? You just go up in a little airplane, and they let the airplane go, and you just glide up there. And it's like, well, I'm saying yes, but I'm terrified. But in my heart, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because if it's my day to die, let's do it obediently, you know? So we signed up, and wouldn't you know, there were so many that signed up. The groups were so big, they put us in the last group. And the last group, that means there's so many people. I got it. God, you know what God was going to do? He was just wanting me to say yes. He'd never get to my group because there's so many people. Besides that, it'll be dark and the weather will change. God, you are so great. I said, yes, I passed this test. Well, you know what? They kept working through, and they got finally to the last group. And I was terrified. I was just, but I didn't really want my husband to realize how terrified I was. And so they got to our group. Now, he got his own airplane with the pilot, and it's like they take like a float plane without the, but they take the floats off in their wheels, and that engine float plane, 180, whatever, takes the little two-seater plane where there's front, back, and it's just a little dome over you that you see through without an engine. So the one with the engine pulls the other one up with a rope. You didn't know this, did you, Mom? And then and then they let the rope go, and that airplane's just supposed to glide. That's what they call gliding. Would you want to do that?
No,
well, I did it. So I got in, Dave got in his airplane, and they took off. I got in mine, and the pilot put me in the front, and I'm going, oh, Jesus, this is the day I get to see you. I'm going home to heaven, but I did it obediently. I got in the front, the pilot was in the back, and we went up and up and up and up, and they let the rope go, and I'm just thinking, I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm too old to die. I mean, too young to die. They let go, and all of a sudden, it just, we caught the wind currents, and I felt like an eagle. The gentleman behind me, the pilot, he said, okay, the controls are yours. Take us where you want to go. And, you know, I knew it was life and death. So I took the controls, and I went, okay, but my husband, he's a daredevil, and he had a daredevil pilot. They didn't let Dave fly, even though he was a pilot. This daredevil pilot knew he was a pilot, so they were going under my plane. Zoom! They were going in front of us, zoom, and back across, and I was just going, you know, following the wind currents like an eagle might do without flapping, you know, just gliding. But when Dave went by me, his whole face from the G's and the wind currents, his whole cheeks, he couldn't even go because he was going so fast. Yeah, I know. It was pretty funny. But when we landed, you would think I had no fear. I felt so exhilarated, and I felt like I conquered fear. And, you know, isn't that silly? But Jesus does things like that. It's just the obedience. Was I afraid? Oh, the whole entire time. But when I got down, I'd never let you know I had been afraid. I was the loudest one there. Wasn't that cool? It was great. Let's go fly. So then we get home, and Dave now has learned to fly. He's got his license. He's got his hours. Now, let's buy a plane. And I'm thinking, buy a plane? Well, I was good with gliding, but I don't know about flying. So we bought a plane. And, you know, Dave was so gentle with me. And it's like the picture with my granddaughter. It's little by little by little. Dave convinced me to just go. We can go into the cove if you want. We don't have to take off. Just sit in the plane with me. Then the next time I'd sit in the plane, we'd take off, and I'd hang on, and I'd be mumbling, perfect love, cast out fear, perfect love, cast out fear. And then we'd go up and up. Pretty soon it got to the place where I'd say, Dave, it's a beautiful day. Can we go fly? And, you know, then I got to be where it was so exhilarating. But we just went to Switzerland this last month. And just to tell you how far and how long it takes sometimes to work out those things in you. So we're in the Alps, and these people were flying all over the place in these hand gliders, and we were going, wow, that's pretty cool, in Switzerland. Dave looks at me, and he goes, you want to do it? I thought we were over this test, you know? And I'm thinking, yeah, I think I could, but this is the Swiss Alps, right? And so I said yes, got the gear on, went up there, and it's a big... Ivy, you gave me the wings, you know, but it's like massive, big wings. And for me, I was saying, I'm going to jump off that mountain because the Lord had been talking to me about what are you trying to conquer in your life? Are you ready to jump off the mountain? And for me, I physically jumped off the mountain as a prophetic act, just saying, God, is this the day I'm to die? Let's go. Let's end it in Switzerland. So We get up to the top of this great big huge mountain, and they put this big kite on you that's so big. They have another guy that's sitting behind you, and he goes, run as fast as you can. So I run to the edge of the mountain, and it's like, oh, Jesus, this is the day. And I did it. I jumped off of the mountain, and we caught the wind. And again, I was scared the whole entire time, but I'm saying under my breath, perfect love, cast out fear, perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, there's villages way down there. And it was so exciting. You see, believing is the whole beginning. Believing turns into obedience. Believing is a matter of life and death. Do you believe? Do you believe? If you do, you're going to have a test if you believe. I was reading a book by Rick Joyner just on our travels. And I just, in ending, it was just such a good quote. There is a bigger lion in us. You know who that is? The Lion of Judah. I'm big on the Lion of Judah. There is a bigger lion in us. If you do not learn to face the lions, you'll be running from them the rest of your life. If you do not case them, they will case you. Far from your purpose, and you will die in the wilderness. Isn't that a good quote? What mountain are you having to climb? Is it time to jump off your mountain by faith? To let God really conquer what you need to be conquered? The opposite of fear is love. I want so much more love. I've got a long ways to go, but I'm on the journey to maturity. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Anybody have any questions? Yes. Oh, yes. And it's by Rick Joyner. The book was the path? I think it is, yeah. Gloria is my resource girl. She gives me more good tips. And Carol. There is a bigger lion in us. If you do not learn to face the lions, you will be running from them the rest of your life. If you do not case them, they will case you far from your purpose. Case them. If you don't go after them. If you don't face them. Or if you don't face them. They will face you and case you far from your purpose. And you will die in the wilderness. Rick Joyner. Uniquely invaluable. And I love that Ketchikan postcard. I just think I saw that years and years ago and I just saved it. And I just think that's such a good spiritual picture. Oh, I'm sorry. Should I repeat it? Go slower? Okay. There is a bigger lion in us. If you do not learn to face the lions, you will be running from them the rest of your life. If you do not case them or face them, they will case you far from your purpose and you will die in the wilderness.
Far from what?
Oh, case you far from your purpose and you will die in the wilderness. And when you speak of the wilderness, that's in your circumstance, in your challenge. You will never pass what God is trying to teach you. God allows things in our life not to just pick on you, but he's actually trying to advance you. It's a promotion. It's not that he's against you. He's for you.